This is the High School Football America podcast for March the 7th, 2024. I'm Jeff Fisher. The High School Football America podcast is brought to you by GameStrat, America's premier sideline instant replay system with outstanding reliability, faster speed than Huddle Sideline, plus GameStrat has awesome customer service, along with different plans priced right for every coach's budget. And if you missed out on the early bird special, do not worry. Just mention that you know High School Football America, and you'll get a friends and family discount from the fine folks at GameStrat. To get a demo, go to GameStrat.com or click on the GameStrat banner ad located on every page of HighSchoolFootballAmerica.com. All right, championship chat goes outside of Big D with another D in it, DeSoto. How about them Eagles over the last couple of years and all during the reign of head coach Claude Mathis, who's on the line here. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's been a great run over the last couple of years. We're going to look ahead. And, boy, he's had some awesome stuff happen to him personally over the recent time here. Coach, thanks for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you, man. Jeff, it's always an honor to be on here, man, and I appreciate it. And you know, it's one of those things where you get a phone call from you and you got to take that phone call, especially to be on the show with you. So I'm excited and appreciate you having me on.
Well, I appreciate the good words there and kind words. And let's just kind of go back into, let's go back to 23, right? Undefeated season, back-to-back championships, played by far the hardest schedule in the state of Texas, beating Duncanville in your district. You got some other big wins along the way against teams in the national rankings and all that. And you've now had, you know, several months to think about it, I guess 2 months at this point. When you look back on the 23 season and team, what makes you smile about this group in the season?
How they came together and played as a team, how my coaches were able to put great game plans together and help keep this team together, the senior leadership that we had throughout the season. But it was some things that I had to adjust to as a head coach, and I was able to do it just because I have such a great staff, great kids, and it was good. But just seeing those kids have fun, and they really had fun, and they wanted it, and they called it. They told me that they were going to win in the sophomore, and they said we were going to go back-to-back, and they did. But, man, they just worked so hard, man, so very proud of them.
Yeah, number 8 in the final national rankings, various in different ones. Ours had you at number 8 in the algorithm rankings powered by NFL Play Football. And as I'm doing through all of these conversations, no matter how big the program or small the program during championship chat, it's about two things that I want to get in here aside from what you did, which is the kids and the coaches. But I want to start with the coaches first with you, because you said you had to make some adjustments in that and do things to for yourself. Tell me a little bit about the coaches. Get their names in there. Let's hear about these guys that made the Eagles good again in 2023.
Well, I thought on my defensive side of the ball, when we lost one of our coaches, he went to go to College Park and take away College Park, and you know, he was my defensive coordinator, and I had a co-defensive coordinator at the time, too, as well. Coach Babineau, Aaron Babineau, took over the reins as my co-defensive coordinator, along with Rodney Chadwick. And, you know, those guys did a fantastic job, and it wasn't easy. And, you know, he had some different personalities on that side of the ball right there. But at the end of the day, Coach Aaron Babineau was able to get everything together and make sure they're aligned and do what's best for our kids. And those guys did a great job. I mean, they did a heck of a job in communicating with one another and making sure they understood one another. And that's why I don't like much change in my staff, because you lose that a little bit. But those guys were able to keep it this year, and they knew one another so well. And then I made another side of the ball, did the same thing with my offense. Coach Charles Williams was my offensive coordinator, co-offensive coordinator with Sweeney, and I lost another coordinator on that side of the ball. So those two guys right there had to gel with the whole offensive staff, and I lost another guy on that ball, side of the ball as well. So basically, I almost had a whole new side of the ball to come to the offense. But we were able to gel and make some arrangements on that side of the ball as well. But the thing about it is we kept our same game plan and philosophy that we liked throughout the season, and we used it with our kids, and we just trinkets some stuff there and there, and it worked out for us, man. But keeping a whole – just, you know, keep the whole staff together and making sure everybody's on the same page, man, that was crucial for us to be successful this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You were named by the Texas High School Coaches Association Coach of the Year. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but those awards don't come without a good staff. That's for sure. Tell me a little bit about the renewed energy. We haven't talked since you left to the college ranks. It's probably been 7 or 8 years since you and I spoke and all that. You left to the college game, and you did so much great at DeSoto, and you come back, and it's kind of like you picked up where you left off. There was no delay, at least from the outside, it seemed that way. What kind of energy did you come back with? What did you pick up at the college ranks that's helping you now? Did you change at all from the first go round with the Eagles?
You know what, at the college ranks, man, you were able to. You're around some other good coaches, and I learned a lot from some other good coaches on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball and special teams, because I coach special teams, and I learned a lot from coaching at SMU when it comes to the special teams. Lottie was a heck of a special teams coordinator, and he taught me a lot, man. And, you know, I'm dealing with the X's and O's, with the offensive side of the ball, with Coach Craddock and Dan Malone. And, man, those guys, man, and just being the offensive staff, period, the offensive line coach, man, it was general. I learned a lot more football and practice planning from Coach Morris. So when you take all that right there, and then I became a more patient coach when I got back to DeSoto. So I was a lot more patient, and, you know, it changed me. It really did change me, and I was hungry because I wanted to win a state championship. I came back because of my son, came back to coach him, and then I had a chance to coach my other sons, and I have one left, but the energy was just I wanted to win another. This community deserved a championship when they brought me in here. And it was some unfinished business, and I wanted to make sure that I finished that business. So, yeah, I was on a tirade when I got back here. Trust me, I wasn't going to anything stop me from winning the state championship, man. It wasn't. I was on a tirade.
Now it's back-to-back and a three-peat in the offing maybe for 2024. Who knows about that? We'll talk about that a little bit later. But it's funny, one of the questions that I had written down here was talking about you coaching the kids. And I'm just curious, whenever I have a coach on that gets to coach the youngsters, their own, I should say, you know, you always get interesting answers. You know, the how hard it is to separate one from being a coach, one from being a dad and all that. Some have neat little tricks. Some are just like, it's natural. Where do you fall in the category of coaching your kids?
You know what? They know, and they, this is the honest God truth. They know that I am Coach Mathis at school. I am dad at the house, but I'm also dad when they really do need me at the school. So it's kind of like two different things, but at the same time, they understand and do the respect. The hardest thing from them was calling me dad at the office on my own field instead of coach. So that was the hardest adjustment they tried to make. So they finally got accustomed to it. And you know, sometimes, like, on the field, they look at me, it's the same to be going on the field. He'll look at me like, dad, really? Instead of, like, coach, because that's just the bond we have with my kids. My two twins, they were fun to coach. Champ was fun to coach. And my last one is Ken, and I'm coaching him right now. But, man, they were awesome, man. And they adjusted very well. And it was probably harder on Cayman than anything, because he was the one that they said that, you know, you only do this because of your dad. Your dad gets you this, gets you that. And he was so wanting to prove everybody wrong and try to get this for me to get up on the field, and that it just wouldn't work out. So I told him, like, dude, it's about you. Forget what everybody is saying. And he had to understand, he had to become more mentally tough, and he did. And he ended up receiving 33 scholarship offers. So he proved everybody wrong. It wasn't just because of dad, but it was because of his ability.
Yeah, I can hear the pride in your voice, no doubt about that. Claude Mathis is on the line, head coach at DeSoto. What a job he's done there with the program, playing in one of the districts in Texas that's just a meat grinder and not going to be any easier this year either. Coach, let's get some of the kids in by name that made a difference. I'd love to, as I've said to every coach, give, you know, 20 minutes here or 25 minutes, and you can name every kid and everything they did, because everybody's important on that roster. But let's get a good handful of kids in here that you felt had a real key role in last year's championship.
Well, you know what? I think the catalyst of it all starts with our offense, and I'm going to start there, is with DJ Bailey. DJ Bailey is an unbelievable quarterback that played for us, and but just controlled the room. He was the one that controlled that offense, got us into checks, just knew the offense in and out, And that's who kept this thing together when it comes to being that great leader, ever dependent on DJ. Great arm, but just his leadership, man. You could not phase his kid. You could not move him. It doesn't matter what you did. Any defense that you threw at him, it was not going to phase him. If you took a hit, it was not going to phase him. He was determined. He was that good because everybody kept saying he was too short to play quarterback, so he was trying to prove everybody wrong. But he wanted to be that first quarterback in Minnesota history to go back-to-back. So DJ Bailey is who I have to really start with. Then I have to talk about that lovely offensive line that we have. And when I tell you we have a big offensive line, it's a really good offensive line and big. But at the same time, you know, it's one of those things where they gel and they're coached hard by Coach Williams and Coach Bowen. And they just did a heck of a job this year, man. And, you know, those guys up front, when you talk about Vincent Williams, when you talk about, Dylan Johnson, Big Byron. I mean, that's what everybody knows more than anything. In our center, Ronald McClain. And it's Leon Brigham was the leader, was mastermind in the center. And they just played well, man. They were massive. And when we wanted to run the football, we ran the football. There was nothing anybody could do about it. And then, of course, you have Tiger, and Tiger went down during the year, and Duffy stood up and came up and had about 1,500 yards rushing because, you know, he was second man next, and that was him. And Jay Traywick had a heck of a year, too, as well as the other running back. So, you know, it's just different guys that played really well. And our move-in that we had really helped us out tremendously, and that's T.J. Pride. Him and Singleton, Baylor Singleton, did an unbelievable job with our freshman Boogie. So, I mean, Feaster. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where the offense played well this year.
And I was just going to say, I just wanted to talk about the offensive line because I was lucky enough here in Atlanta, they streamed the Duncanville game. And when I took a look at both of your offensive line, but when I saw that, I rubbed my eyes and I'm like, wait a second, I'm watching this on Saturday. Is that a college football line there? But go ahead, you can get to your defense. I just had to point that out. I was like impressed.
Yeah, they're so impressive. They're coached so well by Coach Bowen and Coach Williams. I mean, when you want to talk offensive line play, I will put those guys on the board with anybody, and they can talk X and O's, but they can give it the best of them. That's how good they are. So that offensive line, it's kudos to them, especially when you get in the semifinal game and the wind is blowing over 25 miles, 30 miles an hour, and you don't have no choice but to run the ball, and everybody knows we're about to run it, and they still did it, got the job done. That tells you a lot about those guys. So yeah. Kudos to the offensive line, really do. Defense, man, it starts off with Brandon Booker. That was my catalyst. He was a headhunter, a senior, a bell cow, someone that I got really, really close to throughout the season. Have a great relationship with that young man. And just wasn't awesome. And the sidekick was Jamari Lake. Those two guys kept their defense going in the front seven just to make sure that everything got done right. And then you look at our defensive line, man. Marshall Kirvin, you can't block him one-on-one. Jason Douglas, you can't block him one-on-one. And then the one with 24 sacks this year is Kiki with Colin Keelan Abrams. Man's among boys with those guys on the defensive line right there. And then when you go on the back end, you have my guy Beaufort that's at Nebraska right now, man. And what a heck of a corner. A great corner that he is. And he's a shutdown corner. Along with his other guys, Akeem Hassan has played corner. Jai Traywick played corner as well, played really well for us. And Camden Matthews really stepped up to the plate because he had to play both spots. He played corner and safety. He did a heck of a job for us this year. And then when you look at Sayel Reyes, man, and Macaulay McKellar as safety, man, those guys held it down. So, you know, I was very, very impressed with our defense. And you have Caleb Holmes, the other corner, that played well for us this year. And when you can rotate corners like we did, you have some good kids, and we did. So, man, that whole defense was solid, and they didn't turn around.
What a year it was for the DeSoto Eagles, Claude Mathis on the line. Coach of the Year in the Texas High School Coaches Association. That's no small feat. He's now a finalist on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot. It was a big year, and we're going to talk a little bit about you. We've got everybody in there, but, Coach, some special things have happened to you. Yesterday you were surprised with the Coaches Association Award. If no one around the country knows what the Coaches Association is like and the profession of coaching in Texas is like, man, this is a big honor. There's no doubt about that. How did it make you feel to be surprised and pick up that award?
You know what? It's the largest association in the United States for me. Arkansas High School Coaches Association is awesome. They do a great job. You know, we support one another. We take care of one another. It was just an honor to be in a category, to be nominated, number one, but to win it was unbelievable. And for Joe Martin, just to hand me that award yesterday, I mean, him and Coach West, I mean, I couldn't have had two better people to receive that award from. And then to be voted on and by your peers, that meant the world for me, because that told me right there they thought a lot about me. They thought a lot about my players, about our team, and they thought about a lot of our coaches. And so that just meant the world to me yesterday, and it couldn't get any better award. So, you know, it means a lot coming from those guys right there, really big. So I take great pride in that, and I just want to thank those guys for it up.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I love to do when I get a guy on from Texas, and I guess I'm not trying to make people around the country jealous, because it's different in Texas. There's no doubt about that. And I would just love for you to talk about the way, and it truly is a profession. I mean, I respect the coaching profession in so many ways. But down there in Texas, you guys do it different. Can you brag a little bit about Texas as a whole, the way you handle the coaching profession? There's going to be people that are not going to hate. They're going to hate this. Or there's going to be people trying to move in. But you know what I mean? If you've never been there like I've been, and I've been from, I'm an outsider, right? And you see that, you're like, oh my gosh, they do it right.
You know what? It's about the state. It's about the UIL. The UIL gives us an opportunity to do it right. And we're supported when we do things right by rules and regulations. But, you know, football is big here, just because the state is about all sports, but it's about football as well. And these coaches take great pride in it. We want to be the best. We don't want anybody to outcoach us in this state. So we take great pride in this right here. So, you know, and we talk football all the time between one another. I mean, we always talking football. So we're helping each other out. So it's not like, you know, you can't steal this, you can't steal that. You know, we're helping each other. So, but these guys, man, they're very competitive. They're very passionate. They love the game, and they want to win. They don't want to lose. So it's hard to go against the guys from the state of Texas when it's coaching. There's a lot of great coaches out there, but we take great pride in it as well. And, you know, we're custom going against anybody around the United States when it comes to coaching. So, you know, I love these guys, man. Great association. But the UIL does a great job in keeping everything done, especially with the Texas High School Coaches Association, which is, like I said, the largest association out there.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I was given a peek under the hood. I don't know if you know Mark Ball, the athletic director, used to be in Lubbock. Yeah, Mark's a good friend of mine, and Mark kind of took me under my wings and taught me everything there was to know about the great state and the coaching profession there. So I think I was taught by a guy that knows it pretty well from the inside out as an athletic director and a coach. But I just had to throw Mark in there because I love Mark. Mark is one of my favorites.
No, he's a good dude.
Yep.
I've heard a lot of great things about Mark. I really have.
No doubt about that. I mentioned there's, you know, your playing career. We've been talking all about your coaching. Let's talk about your playing career. I had a chance to take a look at some of those numbers at Texas State. Not bad, Coach. Not bad. I mean, pretty darn good. And then the College Football Hall of Fame. Come on. I mean, again, the coaching award was great. This is even bigger than that, I think. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Who knows? But what are your thoughts?
You know, I was very, very blessed to you know, to even play football, and just to be on the playing field and to be nominated for the College Football Hall of Fame, man, that's still on the ballot, man. That was unbelievable, and that was something that I would never ever forget. And you know, it's all because I played around with some great guys at Texas State. I mean, I really did. And those guys there, man, they were good. But at the same time, we still stay in contact with one another. But it was just one of those things where it's you're in a great spot at the right time. And when I received the phone call, I was just, like, blown away from my athletic director, Don Coryell, man. I was really, really blown away with the award when he said it and he called me. And then our president of the university, man, it was unbelievable. So those guys nominated me, and, you know, hopefully I'll be on there, but we'll see. But just my career, my playing career there, man, I wouldn't want to play anywhere else, man. It's just a great place. St. Mark's is a great town, it's a great city. But the university itself is awesome, but I was able to play there, man, and just have some great careers because some great linemen and some great players I had around me there.
No, would love to see you. I'm a Hall of Fame right down the road here. I go to it at least once a year. It's a great thing in Atlanta, no doubt about that. I do have to ask you one question. I saw all the numbers, but one stuck out, and I forgot to write it down. Were your kickoff return average? Was your kickoff return average somewhere around 30 yards one year?
Yes.
Or did I miss? Seriously?
Yes. Yes, it was. I was an All-American that year. I'll never forget my first team coach was Coach Mott. He took great pride in it, man, and I took great pride in that too as well. So yeah, I just wanted to be the best. I wanted to be the best at everything I did. Punt returner, kick returner. I was an All-American at, and I just wanted to be the best, man. And they gave me that opportunity to play it all there. So, but yeah, that's a real average.
I didn't think it was a typo. I was just in a world where, you know, kickoff and punt returns may be going a different way. I mean, I was like, whoa, that's like Devin Hester like.
It was fun. I had some great players to help me make a lot of my goals, and a lot of records down there happened because of the players that I played with.
And we're talking with Claude Mathis, the DeSoto head coach. Got a couple more questions for you, Coach. Because we are partners with the NFL at Play Football, I'd be remiss to talk a little bit. You had a cup of tea with the Vikings, right? You had a cup of tea there with that. I was just curious. How does that impact you and help you host getting to go to some place where not many people get to go, whether it's a short time or a long time? Is it something that's helped you in your career, whether it's coaching, as a man, as a father? Any thoughts on that?
It changes your life, because I can say, and not a lot of people can say this, I was invited to the NFL Combine. Not a lot of people can say that. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to even get invited there. I can say that I played in a bowl game. I mean, an all-star game. I played in the Hula Bowl. Not a lot of people can say that. I mean, I did some things that, you know, little kids want to do. High schoolers want to do. College players want to do. I did it. Then I was with the Vikings and played with the Vikings. I mean, not a lot of people can say that. So yeah, a lot of my dreams came true. And that's just from the hard work and the work ethic that was installed in me. And my determination too as well, and I'm very blessed. So no, that changed me forever. And you know, I can't thank God enough and my family enough for supporting me and all my coaches throughout my career to help me get to where I want to be. But man, now a lot of people can say that, man, and yes, it did change me. It totally changed my whole life. But also to let everybody know, goals can come true and dreams can come true.
any of the kids, former players, Google you just to see how good Coach was?
That's a joke. I have an inside joke. When they ask about me, I say, I ain't got to tell you, just Google me. There you go. Just Google me. So I always tell them that. And they go Google, trust me, they do. But it's so much fun, man, these kids, especially when they're oh, Coach, you didn't do this. You didn't do this. Okay, go Google me. That's all I'm going to say. But it's fun.
All right, we'll wrap up with a little 2024 here as you get ready to go after a three-peat. Two things come to mind. Your district, for people around the country, I think people know DeSoto-Duncanville at this point. You know, some people may talk about the SoCal rivalries, the D.C.-Baltimore, the northern New Jersey, but man, Duncanville and DeSoto is becoming something that legends are made of. Can you tell the people around the country what it's like when you two go to the gridiron?
Well, you know, it's a battle. It is a serious, serious physical battle. I can't explain to you the physicality of that game because it wouldn't do it any justice. It really won't. Duncanville and DeSoto hits the field, man. It's that game. It's a war. There's no ands, ifs, and buts about it. It's a war. And, you know, when the game is over with, you know, we shake hands, and then Coach Sampson is really good friends, and heck, before the game, I'll never forget this last year, he made a little smart comment before the game, trying to tell the referee. He wanted to talk, okay? He wanted to talk. Then he goes tell the referee. The referee asked him, what do you want to play, offensive defense? And Coach Sampson, he has never done this. Coach Sampson tells the ref, ask Claude, he knows. I'm like, really? What, really? So It was all from there. It really was. But that's the kind of guy Seth is. We're that way. We're great friends, man, but I've never heard him say that. So I'm like, he must be feeling good this Saturday day. I mean, he must be feeling pretty good about this game right here. But it was just the competitive spirit that we have between one another, man. And, you know, we both try to make sure that our kids at the end of the day know that it's just a game. It's just a football game. But it's a lot at stake, and it means a lot. But we both want to win that game. So the rivalry is definitely there. I don't think it's going anywhere right now. We're back to the same district again. So we're going to see. But it's a game that all people should watch and want to see when it doesn't really be thrown up against each other.
I enjoyed watching it. That's a funny start to it. How was the handshake then with Coach Samples at the end there? I mean, there was one team that won that began with a D-E, not a D-U.
Now, that's one thing that we're always going to do. We're always going to find each other. We're always going to shake each other's hand. We are. That's one thing we're going to always do. We respect one another. And, again, at the end of the day, we know if one's going to win, one's going to lose. But at the same time, we both want to win. But, hey, we're both competitive. I'm one competitive cat. I'm saying that right now. I don't like losing. So when he made that statement right there, boy, I went in and I was fired up. I'm not going to lie. I was fired up to win that game. So. It was a good one. Glad we won it. I'm glad we won it.
Right. And when the curtain fell, you were both state champs at the end of 2023. That's just the way it was.
Yeah, we were. And it's good stuff, man. Just especially see two coaches, you know, that African America win that thing that hardly ever happens. And that was great to see right there, man. And I know he wanted it real bad. I wanted it real bad. I was really glad when he won his first one because, you know, he had a lot of people on his back. He couldn't win the big one when it comes to state championships. So I was so happy for Sam when he finally won one as well. And I was just glad that I had one one with him. So we were both celebrating.
Yeah, two good coaches in that district. As we wrap up, Coach, and it kind of goes along the same line. You know, you can't dodge Duncanville because they're in your district. You can't not schedule them. But you're not afraid to schedule people at all, whether it's the toughest in the state or even some of the toughest from the country. Tell me a little bit about your philosophy of not only playing the best, you know, during the season, but even stepping out of state to play.
Well, you know what? It goes back to our district. I mean, you know, Duncanville can't dodge us. I mean, we're in district, and they just can't. And, you know, our district schedule is hard enough, so we got to prepare for that. So I've always had the philosophy to play hard teams in a non-district schedule to prepare us for district play. And so far, I was able to do that. I think I have a really good district non-district schedule this year as well to help us get ready for our district because our district is hard. So we have no problem playing anybody. It's just got to be at the right time at the right moment, and hopefully, you know, we can get them on their schedule. Yeah. But it prepares us for district play, and then our district play really prepares us for the freaking playoffs. So we get a double whammy. And my kids look at me sometimes and like, Coach, what are we going to do this year? Who are we going to play? If we want this. They want this. Our kids understand that. So we're ready for it. We're not going to take it on. But that's my philosophy behind all that, just to get us ready for district play. And to see where our kids are at, for one, to make sure that they understand what we're about to go into when it comes to our district play.
Yeah.
And to make sure that where we're at. So it gives us a chance to fill our way a little bit doing preseason with the games that we play.
Yeah, and folks around the country, if you don't know what type of schedule they play, go to Dave Campbell's Texas Football and look at the last couple of years of schedules and see who the Eagles play. It is not filled with cupcakes. I'll just say that you'll enjoy seeing who they play. So last question. It's 2024 now. You've already turned the page, right? You still have a smile on your face about 23, but you got to work it in the locker room. You got spring ball coming up. You got fall camp after that. Tell me a little bit about what you feel you've got to do this year to put yourself in position to win number 3 in a row?
Well, right now, we're working on it right now. I always tell our kids we win the state championships in offseason. And right now, that's what we're preparing for now. I mean, our kids right now, you know, believe it or not, we have some young bucks and they don't know how to finish right now. They don't know how to finish. They don't know how to, they're not physically where I want them at. They're working hard. They're definitely working hard, but they're not finishing. They're not mentally tough where I want them at right now. So, those are the two biggest issues right now that we have in our offseason right now. And also, we got to get some depth. We got to get some depth throughout the offense and defense side of the ball and special teams. Because, you know, Angel Diaz was a beast at kicker. Our kicking game has got to get better. And I'm losing that kid right there. And he's a huge part of the puzzle that made this thing work. So, we're working on our special teams. It's a big question mark right now. So, if we can get that fixed and as well as replacing DJ Bailey at quarterback, if we can do that, well, I will feel good about our chances for next year. But we're a long ways to go right now. But at the same time, I have a great staff. We have some great hardworking kids right now. So I think we can accomplish those goals right there. We'll be right back there again.
Yeah, you might be back in that phrase reload at this point. You got some holes to fill, no doubt. Yeah, DJ is going to be hard to replace, yeah. But you know there's some people there in that program. Coach, really, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to talk with us today. Really have enjoyed watching from afar what you guys have been able to do there. It is a team effort, and it's just really, you know, I love stories like yours, because I've read a lot about you, and now that I've talked to you about your college football career, I'm even more impressed. So just thank you for taking the time today and enjoying the conversation, and good luck in 2024.
Jeff, I appreciate it, man. It's always an honor to be on your show and everything. High School Football America is awesome, man. You do such a great job, man. I love being on here, man, but I appreciate it. Hopefully we can be on there again, and we'll talk about another title.
And don't forget, the clock is ticking down to get your student athletes nominated for the High School Football America 4th Annual Academic All-America Team. Everything you need is on the website. Just go there. Nomination form is there. Real simple. Will only take you a couple of minutes. And your student athlete or athletes will be possibly in the running for the Academic All-America Team that will be released on April the 1st. That's the High School Football America podcast, brought to you by NFL Play Football. Coaches, don't forget to check out playfootball.nfl.com for some great resources to help you improve in the coaching profession. That's today's High School Football America podcast. I'm Jeff Fisher. Talk to you tomorrow.